This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Caney. Medicare is our country's health insurance program for older Americans and certain younger people. And while Medicare helps with the cost of health care, it doesn't cover all medical expenses or the cost of most long-term care. The Medicare open enrollment period under the Affordable Care Act started October 15th. It'll be ending December 7th. Here to provide information on what seniors should look for when choosing Medicare plans during enrollment are Lori Petrie, Communications Director with the Council on Aging of Southwestern Ohio, and Ann Frederickson, Project Manager with Pro Seniors. You can join the conversation at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Lori and Ann, thank you for being here this afternoon.
Thanks for inviting us.
Let's start off with some of the basics. Lori, who exactly is eligible for Medicare, and what kinds of things does it cover?
Well, an individual becomes Medicare eligible when they turn age 65. There are some people with disabilities who can get Medicare at a younger age, some specific disabilities. Medicare comes in different parts, and the main ones are hospitalization, as that's Part A. Part B is your physician, and Part D is your drugs. Part D is a fairly new benefit. Those are the main, that's the basics.
Now, what's Part C?
Part C, I'll let Ann answer that one. I think it's the supplement, isn't it?
Part C is the Medicare Advantage plan.
Okay, Part C is Medicare Advantage.
Yeah, which is an option when you're under Medicare. You can choose to have your Medicare managed by a business, which would be like your Humana, your United. Those are some of the companies selling those. Or you can go through traditional Medicare, which is what Lori was talking about.
Boy, so you've got double decision there, don't you?
You do. That, I think the coming of Medicare Advantages plans has been something that's confused to people. Medicare Advantage is basically a managed care plan, but it is all in one. So you've got one company like Humana, United, whatever, handling everything. If you have traditional Medicare, you may have different companies handling different parts of your benefit.
That's right. Yes.
So it's private.
It is. It's private. And the government set those up because they thought it was a more efficient way to manage Medicare. And it can be more efficient. But it's also, because it's managed, I tell people, you have to remind yourself that there are rules and procedures you have to follow. You can't just go wherever you want to go to receive your care. You have to follow the management of the care according to the rules of the plan.
Okay, there are also rules involved with traditional Medicare, though.
I would
take it as well, and you should know those rules as well.
Right, right.
Now, this is a topic that has to generate a lot of questions. So I'm wondering from each of your perspectives, because I know a lot of very smart people. My brother-in-law was one of them. He recently signed up for Medicare, and he was saying he was so befuddled by the whole experience. Now, this is a guy who was a government geologist all his working life. He's a very smart guy, but he was totally confused about it, and he had to actually get help. So what are each of you seeing? I mean, are you seeing a lot of people coming in and saying, I just don't understand this. What do I need to do?
Befuddlement is a good term. It is very befuddling. It's very complicated and confusing, and especially if you're new. But fortunately, there is help out there through Pro Seniors, through Council on Aging. And there is a program called the Ohio Senior Health Insurance Information Program, OSHIP. And people can go there and actually get one-on-one assistance, either over the telephone, online. We have a volunteer at Council on Aging who meets with people individually. So as befuddling as it is, there is help available. OSHIP also has a number of events that they hold around the state called Welcome to Medicare. You come to a big seminar and get all kinds of information. Those have finished for the season, but there is a webinar on December 15th. And if you were to go to OSHIP's website or just Google OSHIP, O-S-H-I-I-P, and you can access that webinar on the 15th of December.
And if you use the Ohio Department of Insurance, then you can click on that particular link for OSHIP. And the OSHIP is through the Ohio Department of Insurance, which is a state-funded operation agency. That's why we really like to promote that organization, because they're not getting anything as a result of the assistance. You don't have to pay for the assistance, whereas there are a lot of brokers out there, and there's a lot of people that you can pay to get some help. But if you choose not to pay, you can use some of these free services that give you just as much great information as if you would be hiring someone to help you navigate navigate the Medicare system.
What about the federal site, Medicare.gov? Is it a good source of information?
I would go to OSHIP first, probably. It's a little bit more basic and get some one-on-one assistance. And then once you've got some things figured out, then go to Medicare.gov.
Yeah.
Would you agree with that?
I agree.
Yeah,
I agree with Laurie. Complex. It's a little bit more complex that I think that the OSHIP would be easier for people to understand.
So that's a good starting point.
Yes.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join our conversation about Medicare. And Lori, are seniors aware that the Affordable Care Act is having an impact on Medicare?
They're aware that there's an impact, many of them, but they're not sure what it is. and in many ways, the Affordable Care Act has given some advantages to individuals on Medicare. For example, more preventative services are now free of charge. So wellness visits and a lot of preventive care with your doctor is free of charge. Everyone on Medicare is encouraged to have a free physical wellness visit every year. And then there's something also in the drug plan called the donut hole.
Yes,
I've probably heard of the donut hole. Basically, people fall into it, and if they have expensive drugs, they start paying a lot of money out of pocket. Gradually, under the Affordable Care Act, that donut hole is going to be shrinking and then eventually eliminated. Those are the two biggest benefits. I could be missing some others.
No, I agree with Laurie. And also, because I'm in the Medicare fraud business, actually, I report potential Medicare fraud at ProSeniors, which is our wonderful organization I'm representing today. There's actually been stricter regulations and more law enforcement in the area of Medicare fraud as a result of the Affordable Care Act. They've actually strengthened some of the sanctions, the criminal and civil penalties now for folks that that are involved in Medicare fraud. So that's been a real upside of the Affordable Care Act for us in the Medicare program.
What's the downside that people need to be aware of as far as the impact of the Affordable Care Act? Are they going to see changes?
I don't think there's any downside
via
the Affordable Care Act for it. Now, the only one that I'm possibly aware of is that individuals may be on Medicare Advantage plans, may be paying a little bit more for their premiums. And that is because the federal government cut back on what they were reimbursing the Medicare Advantage plans. They were getting a lot of extra money in the past, and the Affordable Care Act eliminated that. So that means that some of that cost was passed on to consumers.
We got a question by email. Are doctors permitted to limit the number of Medicare patients they accept, and what options do patients have?
Yes, they can.
Absolutely.
And some of them will. We've been talking about Medicare Advantage plans, and that's a good reason for an individual during the open enrollment period to check their Medicare Advantage plan and even the traditional Medicare. Look and see if your doctor is still accepting Medicare, because it's quite possible that your doctor may have decided not to take Medicare patients anymore.
Right.
So it's not get on one time and then never check again. It can change.
Right. They have a right that they're private business entrepreneurs. They have a right, or they may be affiliated with many of ours in this area or affiliated with hospitals. And the hospitals can also decide, you know, in terms of how many patients that they would want them to see under Medicare, too. So it's a little more complicated than just yes or no.
Is there if a patient's looking for a doctor who accepts Medicare, is there an easy source, an efficient source they can use to find out if a doctor takes it, or is it a matter of just calling around doctor to doctor?
No, I would think you could probably access that information through Medicare.gov, wouldn't you?
Yes, I would say go on www.medicare.gov, and you should be able to find that information. I mean, you can call the doctor's office and make sure, too. Now, things can change even in the middle of the year, so it's important for you to keep on top of that. Make sure that if you are seeing a physician and you haven't seen them for a while, you want to make sure that they're still in, especially in your Medicare Advantage plan.
Lori, what should seniors be paying particular attention to as they enroll?
Well, as they enroll, I think they need to look at what we've been discussing, Mark, is my doctor accepting Medicare? And then do I have certain specialists that I see or that perhaps I've been recently diagnosed with cancer and I anticipate that I'm going to be seeing some specialists? Are these individuals covered? With drugs, it's really important to make sure that the prescriptions that you have are all being covered by your prescription drug plan. And then you look at your own financial circumstance, because this isn't, even though Medicare is a government health insurance, there's still co-payments and there's deductibles. And so you look at your own circumstance and say, well, I'm going to shop for a plan that has a high deductible because I can probably afford a big hit if that should happen to me. Other people may say, I want it as low a premium and as low a deductible as I can. So you need to shop around based on your own financial circumstance.
And I guess we probably, the three words I can use to sum up for how you determine whether what Medicare plans are good for you is cost, coverage, and convenience. If you keep those three words in mind as you're reviewing and looking at Medicare every year, and it's just like a physical, you really need to do it every year. People say to me, do I really have to do it this year? Yes, you have to do it because things change. So if you look at cost, coverage, and convenience, you should be able to determine pretty much what's a good plan for you.
Three C's. So
yes,
something that's relatively easy to remember.
Yes.
Okay. Now, there's a lot of confusion that comes over, part A, B, C, D. Well, we know C is the private plans and D is the prescription coverage. Now, you were talking about A and B earlier, Lori, but I've already forgotten. And I'm sure a lot of people do the same thing. I get confused over A and B.
Those letters. And those and D, you can say, well, that stands for drugs. A and B is less clear. A is hospitalization, and actually, when an individual turns 65, you get enrolled automatically in that. It's just being turning 65 and living in the good old U.S. of A. But Part B covers your physician visit. So Part A is you had surgery, you're in the hospital. Part B is I'm visiting my doctor or my specialist. And so Part B, you do have to sign up for yourself and access and choose the plan.
So A is something that's already, it's automatic.
Yes.
You've been paying into the tax structure all these years, and it's something that's already covered.
That's correct.
Is there additional cost for Part B? There can be, yes.
Again, this is one of those things, but one of the questions that we get all the time is, well, what does it cost? So Part B is where a premium kicks in, and in most cases for very, very basic, you know, it can change and you can get more or less, but very, very basic, it's about $105 a month in a premium for Part B.
Yeah, the only time it's a little bit more, as Lori mentioned, is if your income is greater. And there are income points, like $85,000. It starts as an individual. If you make above that amount of money, then your premium will increase. And there's up to a greater value. But generally speaking, most people fall within that. Only about 5% of the Medicare population has that greater amount that pays a greater amount for Part B. And that can also be adjusted because sometimes when people first retire, there might be a windfall, there might be some stocks or bonds that people cash in, and that could be a one-time thing, whereas then that can be reevaluated. Social Security can be helpful with that, reevaluate it for the next year to see if, you know, your income might be up for 1 year, but then back down again the next year. So
we had a comment on Facebook about patients getting explanation of benefit forms with astronomical costs on them.
Yeah.
And even though it says it's not a bill, these things can still cause a lot of anxiety, can't they?
They can. Go ahead, Ann.
Yeah, I was going to say an explanation of benefits, or what we call Medicare summary notice, provides the total cost of care. Now, we know that Medicare pays 80%. And I always tell people, too, just because it's a high hospital bill does not mean that there's fraud involved in it, okay? The cost of health care is huge, and it has been for a long time. And it's predetermined. Medicare sets rates. I once worked for a vice president at a hospital here in town years ago, and he always talked about how Medicare came up with rates depending on what the economic costs are for a particular part of the country, how much it's a per diem, how much the physicians' costs are, the hospitals. There's a lot of factors that go into that, and they make that decision about how much Medicare is going to pay for a particular procedure or any kind of a supply or whatever. But just because it's high doesn't mean that it's wrong. And then the patient will be responsible for 20%. And by the way, in the state of Ohio, we're very fortunate because we have what's called the Balanced Billing Act. And in the state of Ohio, no provider can bill you above and beyond the 80%. Now, in the state of Florida, that's not the case. So I tell people to caution them that you could end up paying the difference, the balance between the 80% and the actual charge, if if you are in another state in the country. However, in Ohio, we are prohibited, suppliers and providers are prohibitive from doing that process.
Okay. So there are a lot of state laws and vary state by state that have effects on Medicare and...
Yeah. I mean, in general, Medicare is a federal program and it's the same, but there are some little nuances that can be different depending on state. Yes.
Okay. Lori, do you have to sign up for all the parts of Medicare? Or you say A is automatic, but then you have B, C, or D.
Yeah, you have to sign up for all the others and make a choice and make some decision and do a little homework, unfortunately.
Or you just have the option of being on Part A if that's all you want, right?
Yes, yeah. That's an option too.
You do.
But then if you need to go to the doctor or pay for prescriptions, you would be having to pay for that yourself.
Not a good option.
It's really not a great option,
okay.
You know.
Okay. What happens if you don't enroll during the open enrollment period?
Well,
are you out of luck?
No.
Okay.
Well, no. I mean, are you asking if you're new to Medicare?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay. If you're new to Medicare, you have a 7-month window. Okay. You have the month of your birthday, 3 months before and 3 months after. But if you don't enroll within that first year, you have to wait till open enrollment of the following year. So
there's also something that many people don't understand, and Ann can get into the details more than me, but if you are eligible for Medicare and you're age 65 and you don't sign up for B, there can be a penalty, a perpetual, indefinite penalty for not signing up for B unless you can show that you have creditable and coverage from another source, such as an employer.
That's right.
For individuals who are still working after age 65, they're getting insurance through their employer, they may choose not to go on Medicare, but they have to show that, yes, I've got coverage from another source. Because if you don't do that, and I have known of or heard of individuals who failed to sign up for B, and they ended up having to pay a penalty in perpetuity.
Right. That's right. Lori's right. Also in Part D is the same way, which is D for drugs. If you do not enroll initially in the Part D plan and you don't have what Lori was mentioning, creditable coverage. And creditable coverage means you have equal or better coverage than what Medicare can offer, then you will be given a penalty. And as Lori said, that increases every year and that can be a hefty penalty. So we have folks that say, well, I don't use drugs. I'm 65 and I don't take any medications. Well, it doesn't matter. You need to get a Part D plan initially on, or you will pay the price down the road. Same with Part B. I know people that refuse to enroll in Part B because they're healthy. They don't go to the doctor. They don't see themselves having outpatient procedures. However, when they choose to do that, if it's 10 years, they're going to pay 10 times whatever that percentage is that they have to pay over that period of time for the rest of their life.
So in Part D, Are there different options in Part D, or is it just one plan covers all?
No.
Lots of different options.
Lots of options.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's another area.
Lots of different options. And one thing we haven't talked about, Mark, is a supplemental plan. And there's all kinds of different options there, everything from basic nuts and bolts to something that's, you know, much more robust.
So Medigap plans?
It depends on what you can afford and what you want.
Okay.
And just so, Mark, just to give piggyback with what Lori was saying, the Department of Insurance puts out a guide to Medicare supplemental insurance, and it's free. If you call the Ohio Department of Insurance at 1-800-686-1578, you can actually get one of these guides for free. And it has all the supplemental plans. It's all up to date for 2015, and it really provides you some good information.
So, Lori, summarize for us. We've got about a minute left here. What steps should I be taking as I'm looking at the open enrollment period for Medicare?
Well, if you're new to Medicare, it's best. You've only got till, December 7th? So if you haven't even looked at this, it's best to go to some of those resources that we've mentioned, educate yourself, sign up. Don't let the opportunity pass not to sign up for it. It's a huge benefit that people have and take advantage of it. If you're currently on Medicare, then this is your time to go to those resources and take a look and see if the doctors and the prescriptions that you use are covered by Medicare.
What's the Ohio Department of Insurance number that you mentioned earlier?
Sure. It's 1-800-686-1578. And by the way, real quick, they can also get extra help depending on what their income is. If you need assistance, there are plans that are out there that provide extra support to pay for your Part B and your Part D.
Very good information. We'll have that Ohio Department of Insurance number on our website, WVXU.org. Lori and Ann, thank you for joining me this afternoon.
Thank you,
Thanks
Mark.
Thanks for having us.
Lori Petrie, Communications Director with the Council on Aging of Southwestern Ohio, and Ann Fredrickson, Project Manager with ProSeniors. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Archives of our programs are available at WVXU.org. The Cincinnati Edition theme music was composed by William White. The producer for today's program was Pete Reitmeier, with help from Kevin Reynolds and Jim Nolan. The technical director was Bruce Ellis. I'm Mark Haney. Stay tuned for Here and Now next on 91.7 WVXU.